taken from 1 Corinthians 15 and Romans 6. And combined together in there, what you discover is that Paul gives a gospel message, the simple truth of the gospel. And the simple truth of the gospel is this, is that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. The resurrection, what we celebrate this morning, is not just part of the gospel. It is the essential, the essence of the gospel. It is the climax of all that God said would happen. And without it, the cross has no saving power at all. Without the resurrection, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, they lose their authority. Without the resurrection, faith becomes empty. As Paul clearly says, if Christ was not being raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. But Paul goes on to say later on in 1 Corinthians 15 that, but now that Christ has been raised from the dead, we have the victory. The cross and the resurrection especially changes everything. It is the greatest event in the whole of history. Because the resurrection is the culmination of our redemption. That word redemption is a simple word. It just to be redeemed is to be bought back. Jesus Christ in his death and in his resurrection bought us back. He paid the price for us. But the resurrection also is the proof that Jesus is the Son of God. He fulfilled everything that God had sent him to do. And the evidence of it is that he wasn't just another man, but he is God himself. He is the source of eternal life. And uniquely in Christianity, we are promised not just spiritual revival. We're not just promised just health and prosperity this side of eternity, but what we're actually promised is that one day we will have a bodily resurrection like Jesus. Do you know what that means, don't you? No more glasses, no more hearing aids, no more walking sticks, no more sickness, no more death, no more crying, no more separation. What we see in the Gospels is simple. It is powerful. And the evidence is true. The question is whether we want to believe the evidence or not. In our reading from Matthew and all the other Gospels, they do not describe how the resurrection happened, just as we said in that simple story with the children. Nobody actually saw it happen. Because it was a divine miracle. But instead, we are given the evidence, three lines of testimony. The first line is that there was an empty tomb. The historical evidence that those who gathered saw it. The women came early Sunday morning to anoint Jesus' body. Even though Jesus had said that he would die and he would be raised again, they had the full expectation that when they got there, the body would be there. In fact, on another occasion, they actually quizzed, can you remember, who's going to roll the stone away for us? But when they got there, they saw that the stone was already rolled away. The women knew it. The disciples confirmed it when they came. The Roman guards witnessed it as well. And even the Jewish leaders, even though they denied it, even though they tried to say that the soldiers had taken the body, or even if they said the disciples had done, or even if they said as they did, it was just a trick. An illusion in some way. They couldn't deny the fact that Jesus was alive. The tomb was empty. The question is not if, but why? Secondly, the angels. As well as the historical evidence, there was also a heavenly testimony. Do you remember what they said? He's risen. He is not here. Simple message. This was heaven's explanation to this amazing earthly mystery. They didn't go into the finite details of the wonder of how he came back to life again and how the breath came into all they simply said was, he's not here. He is risen. The empty tomb is not an accident. It is not a theft. It's not confusion. It is resurrection. And then thirdly, the other eyewitnesses as well. The women became the first eyewitnesses to what had happened. You know, because we've discussed it before, that women in that first century Judaism were not actually the best eyewitnesses. They were not allowed to bring testimony in a court of law. But you also know that the Lord Jesus Christ goes right across any cultural traditions of man. And he revealed himself first of all to these women who were eyewitnesses to the resurrection. What was interesting was their reaction. They were trembling. They were astonished. There was fear there as well. Not fear of danger, but a fear of absolute awe of what they saw. They couldn't process what they were seeing. But eventually their fear turned to joy. Because they met the risen Savior. Why does this matter, beloved? Why are we celebrating this morning? Why is it of first importance to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, because the resurrection is not just simply history. It is personal. Jesus was raised for our justification. He came back to life in order that one day, because he paid the price, and because that price was paid, and because God showed his approval by bringing him back to life again, one day when we get to those pearly gates, just like that man on the cross next to Jesus, I hope you've taken one of those books. If you haven't, can I encourage you to take one with you today, read it or give it away, because it's so insignificant. In there, Alistair Begg tells a lovely story of the truth of what it must have been like when that man on the other cross next to Jesus got to heaven and they quizzed him why he was there. It wasn't that he went to the Bible study on a regular occasion every single Tuesday, although you should be there if you're not. It wasn't because he actually paid his tithe every single week and made sure he did. It wasn't because he'd been baptized. He was there because the man in the middle of the cross told him that he could be there. This day you will be with me in paradise. And so when that man and when we stand before a holy God on one occasion, we will be fully justified because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That word justified literally means just if I'd never sinned. But also, it does guarantee our resurrection as well. You know, whenever I take a funeral for a believer, this is the hope that I give to them. Over this last 3 months, we're grateful that you've been praying for us, but especially over the death of Suzanne's mum while we're away, and we can see God's perfect timing in that. That we were both available to support Suzanne's dad and the rest of the family. And I was there for Suzanne as well during that period of time. But it was glorious, her valedictory service, wasn't it? It was fantastic because she knew and loved the Lord and had served him. But more than that, he had died for her and was raised to life again. So now we know that she has a resurrection body. I took another service just a few weeks ago, and I couldn't give that same hope to those individuals who were gathered there because I didn't know where the young man stood, and he was a young man, and it caused me to grieve. It caused me to weep. But it also caused me to say, the issue is not where he is, but where you are going. You see, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ brings certain that you and I one day will have a resurrected body as well. And we will be with him for the whole of eternity. Amen. I'm glad I got one hallelujah then. I should have got more. You should have been saving them all up for me. But it also proves that he is Lord and Savior. It proves who Jesus really is. There's no one else that can die for our sins. There's no one else that could save us from our sins. But Jesus has. To deny the resurrection is to deny the facts. To deny the resurrection is to deny the witnesses, is to say that Mary and the other Mary and Salome and all those other women and Peter and James and John and all the other apostles, all those 500, it's in effect saying, do you know what? You are just a bunch of liars. We do not believe that you saw the truth. Imagine in a court of law having over 500 witnesses to what went on. I know the judge would bring his gavel down and he would say, case is closed. The evidence is there. The facts tell us, the witnesses tell us, the testimony of Scripture tells us as well. And ultimately, God himself. If you deny the resurrection, you deny all these things, even God himself. Beloved, can you see why it's so important? Now, I don't want to say it, although I'm going to say it. I do believe that we should, as believers, we should make far more of Easter than we should of Christmas. It should be a greater celebration. Let's face it, they've stole Christmas from us, or we've given it away. You know, we should make far more because, okay, there is a wonder in the incarnation that we celebrate at Christmas time. And it is. Jesus Christ had to come into this earth. But his death and his resurrection, and especially his resurrection, which shows that God's approval of his finished work is so important to us as believers. Maybe next year we could make more of it. Do you know, we need to have the same response to the resurrection as those dear women. We need to be filled with awe and wonder of the truth of it all. We also should be like them, caught up and lost in wonder and worship. Remember, they worshipped at his feet. And we should have tremendous joy as well. I've got to confess, sometimes us Christians are not the most joyous. But we have such a joy, such a hope, such a security of an eternal destiny in Christ Jesus. And we need to confess as well, that ultimate confession, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There is no other way of salvation except through the Lord Jesus Christ, except through believing in his finished work. The resurrection proves everything. It proves that Jesus is the Son of God, that the gospel is true, that the salvation is real, and it calls for our response. Beloved, are we going to rejoice this day? Are we going to be witnesses to his saving power this day? So let's all get up now and we're going to go out and testify to everybody, shall I? for those that are uncertain of your position this morning, if you've not yet believed, come. Come and worship the risen Saviour and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him to life again, and then be saved. That's our prayer for each and every one of us. In Job 19 and verse 25, he said with great confidence, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. Notice there's something very personal about that. He says, I know that my... See, the resurrection is not just historical truth, it's personal. We've got to accept it ourselves. I know that my Redeemer lives. It was personal, but it was also confident. Beloved, we need to have that confidence in the days in which we're living in, because there is so much untruth out there. There is so much confusion, especially you mums and dads, and we pray for you often, especially the confusion that is being given to our children through our education system. You don't need to tell a child that there is a God. What they do in our education system is this, is they tell you that there isn't a God. Children naturally know that there is a God. They can't deny it. Beloved, we need to know personally, but we also need to have that confidence so that we one day know that the Lord Jesus Christ will return. Amen? And he will stand on this earth again. And every eye will see him, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, hallelujah, that we can do that today. May this be true of each and every one of us, that we will know that our Redeemer truly lives.